You're listening to the Orlando Sentinel's College Gridiron 365 podcast. Hosts Brant Parsons and Matt Mershell give their perspective on the hottest topics in college football. Now let's get on with the show.
Well, it's out. The first college football playoff rankings are out. I'm Brant Parsons with Matt Mershell. An instant analysis, if you will, on the College Gridiron 365 podcast. Matt, I'll let you talk first. I'm still putting it all together. The rankings came out. Number one, Georgia. Number two, Alabama. Number three, Notre Dame. Number four, Clemson. Right on the outside looking in at number five, Oklahoma. Number six, Ohio State. Matt, from the top on those, what sticks out to you the most?
Well, I think what sticks out is the fact that, you know, Notre Dame's in number three, to be honest with you. I mean, I think people will debate the Georgia, Alabama, should they be one, should they be two, that kind of thing. But to me, I think Notre Dame at number three shows that the committee was looking at, you know, those quality wins that Notre Dame had. You know, looked at the win over NC State last week, the win over Southern California a couple weeks ago. Those are quality wins, and they, even though they only have that one loss is turns out to be the number one team in the rankings. So, Notre Dame gets that third spot. Oklahoma and Ohio State's interesting because there was a lot of talk going into tonight. You know, would the committee put Ohio State ahead of Oklahoma based on the big win over Penn State this weekend? But when speaking with Kirby Hocutt, the committee chair, after the rankings were revealed, he said, you know, that head-to-head really is very important to them, and it will continue to be very important for them for the rest of the season. So that's why you see Oklahoma edging out Ohio State in that spot as well. And you can go down the list, you know, Miami at 10, Wisconsin at 9, both those two teams undefeated, find their way kind of at the bottom of the top 10. There'll be a lot of debate, I'm sure, in our area for UCF at number 18. It's just the first rankings, and there's some spots here and there, but I wouldn't say it's overall shocking, but just it gives us a good glimpse of what the selection committee is kind of thinking, at least in their first effort of the rankings.
Oh, don't worry. We're going to get to number 18 along the lines in this podcast. Matt, I mean, this is the first rankings. These rankings really have nothing to do with what the final rankings are going to be. You know, everyone's like, oh, well, if the playoffs start today. Well, the playoffs aren't today. The bowls aren't. They don't start today. All these teams at the top play each other in some form or another. This isn't going to be how it ends up. The committee has said in the past that they're not even tied into those numbers. It's not like the AP poll always was, where if you were number two and you won without it being like a shocking win, then you usually kept that spot. They say it's going to be fluid. Teams will move around based on results and what happens. So these rankings don't mean that much. They're a TV show. Something we can use to put numbers next to teams. I think the committee, and I'm going to go out, this is my opinion only, but I think the committee said, you know what, let's get people talking because this doesn't really matter. Georgia probably deserves the number one ranking over Alabama because Alabama hasn't beaten anybody, but there's nobody out there on the eye test that's going to say, oh yeah, well, Georgia's better than Alabama. Vegas would not say Georgia is better than Alabama. Committee puts Georgia number one. People start talking about it. Notre Dame comes in at number three. You have Oklahoma, who's obviously not looked as well as they did in the beginning of the year, but they have that win over Ohio State. Ohio State playing as good as anybody in the country right now. Penn State, a very talented team. They're all behind Notre Dame. It's people will talk. The committee knew what they were doing. I think Clemson, to me, is the most shocking at number four because I think it shows that wins matter and maybe the quality of loss doesn't, because Clemson has a lot of quality wins. They have wins over ranked teams. They have, you know, they certainly at the beginning of the season, they got the big wins under their belt. They have the most embarrassing loss, if you will, out of those top teams. Out of the one loss teams, I'm just looking over it very quickly here in the top 10. They're the only ones that have a loss to an unranked team. They don't seem to be penalized for that. So the strength of loss doesn't seem to be involved, at least in this first rankings. But to me, this is a ratings grab. I think they knew what they were doing with these rankings, and they certainly have gathered the attention of people at the top and in the middle.
Well, I mean, you know, that was one thing is interesting. The Clemson spot you mentioned, as you just spoke about. I mean, you know, Kirby Hokut said that, you know, the reason that they put them at four was they had the quality wins early on against, you know, teams in their top 25. And he said that of that loss, he said that was with a quarterback who their quarterback, starting quarterback, went down hurt. You know, Kelly Bryant was hurt in that game, didn't finish it out. And, you know, Syracuse went on to win. So, you know, if that's the case, then that sets a parameter, you know, that basically if a quality team loses, you know, their starting player, you know, and gets that loss, that can somehow become a factor, you know, when it comes to these kind of rankings. So that's definitely something to consider. But I mean, I think there's a part of me that does look at this a little bit like, yes, there's some ratings grab there. They want to get a little bit of discussion. I think, honestly, if they really wanted that, they would have dropped Clemson out of four and put either Oklahoma or Ohio State in that four spot. Because I think that would have caused a tremendous amount of screaming and yelling, especially on social media. You know, especially if Ohio State had somehow jumped, leapfrogged over Oklahoma. I think that would have been something that would have caused a lot of debate and a lot of concern. The Penn State doesn't surprise me. I mean, honestly, like I said, most of this, when I look up and down the list, there's very few surprises. But I think, as you mentioned, putting Georgia at one definitely gets people discussing it, especially when you consider the fact that Alabama was pretty much number one all last season. But let's not kid ourselves. This is the 20th consecutive appearance in these rankings for Alabama. So it's not like anyone's going to cry for the Crimson Tide for not being number one.
And as I said, the season's going to play out. Georgia and Alabama will play each other. If they win out, I mean, if they're going to stay at 1-2, they're going to play each other at some point. And there's always the shot that it's the team that loses that gets passed up by someone else. But a question that I think that comes into play on this, if Georgia and Alabama do win out and Georgia gets a win over Auburn, Alabama gets a win over Auburn and also a win over LSU. They both make it to the final, you know, the SEC championship game. They play a tight game. So perhaps two SEC teams get in. Notre Dame wins out. I think if they're already making an argument for Notre Dame now, and you know what the schedule is like for the Irish of the West rest of the way, if they win out, then you're talking three teams from the SEC and the independents, one spot left for the Big 12, the Big 10, the ACC, and the Pac-12 to fight over. I don't think that they would give two to the SEC at that point. I think the champion would get in, but that certainly... these rankings kind of predict maybe the chaos that people that want to blow up even this system already would love to see. Can you imagine, you know, all the four of the Power Five conferences fighting for one spot?
Well, yeah, and that's kind of what we were hoping for in a way. You know, when you look at some of this playoff, why the playoff was set up, what it was. I tend to agree with you. I think if Alabama, Georgia, no matter what, if they're undefeated, they get to the title game, and whoever wins that obviously is in, I think that's going to be an interesting scenario. Because let's say it's Georgia loses that game, and they're now, you know, you know they have one loss. And then you got everyone kind of battling for that one spot. I think if Clemson wins out, I think Clemson's in as well. I think then, you know, maybe the Big Ten champion gets in. If it's Ohio State, if Ohio State wins out, you know, I mean, or if Wisconsin, whatever, I think they get in. I think that fourth spot becomes very interesting because you got Notre Dame there. If they win out, they got one loss. That loss is to Georgia. How do you leave Georgia out and put Notre Dame in when Georgia beat them, even if it's by 1 point? So I think when you're looking long-term, hypothetically, that could be a scenario, and that would cause all sorts of chaos in that situation, you know, with Georgia fans getting upset. Look at what happened with, you know, when you look at Penn State, a one-loss Penn State team could come in that situation. They may not be a champion, but depending on their schedule, they might be strong enough case to make that. I don't think the Pac-12 is going to get a team even close enough to getting in there. You know what I mean? Washington at 12 right now.
They're kind of done.
They're done. So, I mean, I think you kind of can discount. What that proved tonight was they're out of the picture. So I think really it's going to be Big 12, Big 10, you know, the ACC, as you mentioned, and then that independent spot. So I don't think we're going to see two teams from the same conference this year. I just think there's too much, unless in the next 4 weeks we see some serious chaos and some teams like Oklahoma, Ohio State, you know, lose some games and can't find their way back in there. I think really this is going to kind of set up for that, you know, Alabama, you know, Clemson, you know, and then whatever we find at 3 or 4.
All right, Matt, when you look over this top 25 list, and certainly there are some reactions out there already, which team do you think has the right to be the most angry or the most disappointed in this first set of rankings?
Well, man, most disappointed. It's really tough when I look at that. I mean, I think Alabama fans will be upset just because they're not one. But again, as you mentioned and we talked about, it's not that big a deal. It's the first weekend, the first rankings. It's not going to matter. I think the Pac-12, as we mentioned, Washington at 12. I think Washington fans will be upset, but they have no right to be because, you know, Washington lost to an unranked team. You know, Washington lost to Arizona State. And that's something that's not going to put themselves in there. Iowa State was a surprise at 15. Not an upset, not like an anger surprise, but just a surprise to be at 15. I think as we kind of mentioned earlier, I think UCF fans on social media at least are outraged that UCF is at 18. But again, that this kind of played out how I kind of thought it would.
UCF at 18, and I'm be a little bit of a homer maybe, but I'm looking at it behind teams like Mississippi State, who've been blown out in their two losses. Iowa State, who has a loss to Texas and a loss to Iowa. They have two nice wins. USC, who was blown out by Notre Dame, who have, because they're big, Power Five schools, I don't think UCF is getting the respect maybe that UCF fans think they do. Probably not the respect that UCF feels that they've earned. But UCF, they're beating teams that are ranked. They had that big win over Memphis. They're not just beating a bunch of cupcakes. They're not playing Wisconsin's schedule even. So I was a little shocked to see UCF that low. I thought maybe around that 14-15 mark, like they are in the AP poll, might be where they come in. I think the thing that shocked me most maybe is that Memphis is only five spots behind them. So they give Memphis credit for some of their wins, despite their blowout loss to UCF. But UCF, I don't know. I can understand UCF's anger, but I can see your point too, where that maybe 18 is about where they are. I mean, just a sliver ahead of LSU. LSU, we had going to pasture a month ago, and they haven't blown the doors off anybody since that game yet. Now, if they beat Alabama, perhaps, but they haven't convinced me that they're on the same level as UCF at this point. And I'm shocked that NC State dropped so much. But that, again, we're looking at wins, I think, earlier in the year that meant more. Beating Florida State maybe doesn't mean as much now. Beating Maryland doesn't mean as much now for UCF. But I could see UCF fans wanting more. I could see group of five schools conferences maybe wishing that their undefeated top team right now was a little bit higher in the rankings.
Yes and no. I try to preface this with everyone, and we kind of talked a little bit about it, that these rankings don't mean much. I mean, listen, the group of five gets that one spot. They get the one golden ticket into the New Year's Six game. You know, so the champion, the highest ranked champion gets that. So as long as UCF wins the American, they're going to be higher ranked than Memphis. Obviously, they're going to end up being, you know, the team that gets to the New Year's Six. So whether you start out the first ranking at 18 and finish at 12, or whether you start out, I think that's fine. I don't think it's realistic if you're a UCF fan and you thought UCF being undefeated was somehow going to be in the top five or top six or seven. I don't think that's realistic. I don't think that's ever going to happen. I mean, I spoke with Kirby Hokut after the game, after the rankings were released tonight. And he said, listen, Central Florida has a very impressive season so far. He said they specifically talked today about how impressive their scoring offense has been. They put up a lot of points, obviously. And he said right now, though, their best win is against a Memphis team that's, you know, ranked in their top 25. So the committee is impressed with Central Florida, and they've taken note of their performance. But I just don't think – I think it takes a lot for a group of five team to really get enough notice to find their way into that top, you know, maybe 12 – type echelon, you know. And I think as the season goes on and as UCF gets some more wins, especially as they get closer to that, you know, winning the division and maybe getting in the conference championship, they're going to go up a couple spots, especially as teams above them lose. So I think eventually they're going to find their way into that 14, 15, 13 realm the next couple weeks if they continue to win. So I can understand a little bit of the outrage, but I also got to, you know, again, first rankings, everything's got to be prefaced with that, because that's where we see so much outrage, and it really, at the end of the year, doesn't really matter.
And that I agree with. And to finish off our look at these first rankings, based on these rankings, based on what you've been told, what you've seen, what they've said, what are you looking for going forward now as to to how things can change in the rankings. You know, are we looking for quality wins, quality losses, strength of schedule, head-to-head? What do you think this statement was made by the committee with this as to what is important and what you should be watching as we hit the home stretch of the college football season?
Well, I think definitely head-to-head was mentioned several times, obviously with the scenario with Ohio State and, you know, with Ohio State and Oklahoma. So I guess if those two teams continue to win, you're probably going to continue to see Oklahoma above Ohio State unless, you know, especially this weekend, you know, Oklahoma takes on, you know, Oklahoma State, which is number 11. If they beat them, they'll probably still remain firmly entrenched in there as well. You know, Clemson's got a game against NC State. They're ranked in the 20s, so that's going to help them out. You know, you look at what Georgia's got this weekend, South Carolina, LSU, you know, Alabama's got LSU, which is at number 19. That might be enough to push Alabama to number one next weekend. You know, so I think the 1 and 2 spot are going to move around a lot in the next couple weeks. I think what'll be interesting is Notre Dame. You know, Notre Dame, do they fall any because, you know, they don't have a conference championship game? Are they going to fall a little bit? They still have to play Stanford, which is ranked. We'll see how that goes. Clemson, you know, you look at Clemson's schedule outside of NC State this weekend, their schedule's not going to be that tough because, you know, Florida State's having a bad year, so that kind of hurts them in the long run. I'm not sure how much movement we'll get. I'm more curious when we get closer to the conference championship games, because that's something they talked about a little bit, was remember, those things count for a lot. So it's going to be important for some of these teams to get there. Wisconsin may end up remaining at the bottom half of the top 10, but eventually when they get to that conference championship game, if they get a win, that obviously could push them into the top 4.
And theoretically, the conference championship game games could almost be quarterfinals. You could almost see a Georgia-Alabama winner gets in, a Clemson-Miami winner gets in, and a Ohio State-Wisconsin winner gets in, an Oklahoma-TCU, the winner gets in, those kind of things in those championship games. Obviously, Notre Dame doesn't have that championship game, so they could throw a monkey wrench in that. But I could see those 4 championship games almost becoming quarterfinals, if you will, because they do seem to put a lot of stock into them. And if the teams that are playing out right now that look like they would be in those championship games get into those games, you could almost call those games, you know, win in advance, because I could see the committee rewarding all of those winners if that was the case with a spot in the playoff. But either way, Matt, it's interesting. It's always a talker, obviously. We did a podcast right after it. But when the first rankings come out, it gets our attention and certainly warms us up for the last 4 or 5 weeks of the season.
Yeah, it really was. I think for some people, it was the rankings and the results were like getting that full bar of Snickers in your trick-or-treat basket. And for others, it was like, for UCF fans, it was like finding a box of raisins in your bag. So, but hey, you know what? First rankings, we still got plenty more to go before those final ones on December 3rd.
All right, and we will continue to follow these rankings all the way up until the final ones. You can listen to our podcasts 2-3 times a week right now. Subscribe and share and rate us and all those good things. For Matt Michelle, I'm Brant Parsons. Thanks for listening to College Gridiron 365 Podcast.
The College Gridiron 365 Podcast is produced by the Orlando Sentinel and hosted by Brant Parsons and Matt Michelle. Come back often and be sure to add the College Gridiron 365 podcast to your RSS and iTunes feeds. Follow everything college football at OrlandoSentinel.com.